Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Hello listeners, welcome to episode 24 of Let's Talk About Tests Baby. I hope you're all well. This week's episode is called I Am Jack's Medulla Oblongata. And this week, what I want to talk about is mental health, specifically my mental health. Next week, from the 27th of October, is Geek Mental Health Week, which is, this is the second year this year, it's run every October. And it's a week of events, blog posts, podcasts, etc. about mental health in the tech industry and in technical circles and geeky circles, and just people sharing experiences and support. And I wanted to get involved last year, and I wrote some blog posts, but I didn't do much else because it was quite late when I realised this year I've got an event. So on the 28th of October in Manchester in Mad Lab, I have put on an event where me, Mike Bell, and another speaker, we're going to talk about our experiences with mental health and in our community. And it's going to be really good. If you are in the area and you're free, please do come down. And I'm going to give a talk about anxiety, and that's kind of what I want to talk about today as well, because it's an important issue, and it's one that I've not really spoken about on the podcast really. Or even given a talk, really. All my talks have been sort of tech or podcast or something, because it's not something that I've actually publicly... Well, I have publicly shared, but not in a talking, speaking to people. It's always been through blog posts and stuff, so I wanted to get something out there and add my voice to the chorus of people talking about mental health at the moment, which is great. It is great that everyone's being so open and accepting and supportive, and I just want to add to that, you know? I've actually been struggling with my anxiety for about a month or two, which meant that I second-guessed myself doing the event and doing this podcast. But then I realised that I have to talk about these things when they're bad, when I'm not necessarily as distanced from them as I would be, just as much as I could talk about them when I'm on an upswing as well. It's just important to acknowledge that it comes and goes and there are bad times, but I still need to talk about that. So the format of the talk that I'm going to give and what I'm kind of structure around this podcast is quotes from Fight Club, the film. I've not really read the book. The film is, there's a selection of, I think it's like books from the 50s in the film, and it's all like I Am Jack's insert body part here. And I realised that the different body parts kind of match up quite nicely with what I want to talk about, and so I started formatting the talk around it, and so I've got a talk around there. The medulla oblongata controls all, it's part of your brain that controls a lot of your physiology, a lot of your autonomous physiology, so blood pressure, heart rate. It also kicks in when you're stressed, so it'll ramp up your heart rate, it'll ramp up your blood pressure, it'll make you feel sick, it'll make you nauseous. And so essentially, it seemed quite fitting because a lot of my treatment for anxiety was just trying to get my medulla oblongata to chill the fuck out for once. So once I got that sort of sorted, the whole thing kind of fell into place. So this will be my talk that I'm going to give on Wednesday, the 28th of October. So I've done the medulla oblongata. The next one, I don't know if these are in chronological order, but the next quote is, I am Jack's inflamed sense of rejection. And that's kind of what anxiety is. I get scared a lot of being rejected. I mean, I'm anxious and scared about a lot of things. All things sometimes, but rejection's up there. Like, even rejection of me, rejection of my ideas, rejection of my feelings, rejection of my opinions. And then there's the pre-rejection fears, which you fear the rejection that hasn't happened yet, that might never happen yet. And you get so preoccupied with things that aren't necessarily going to happen that you miss out the things that are happening, or you don't end up doing them because you've built so many different scenarios up in your head before you've even done them that you think it's not worth doing because, well, clearly all these rejection scenarios are going to happen anyway. So I am Jack's raging bile duct. Another area of anxiety that I have to suffer with a lot that I don't hear mentioned as often is the fight part of the fight or flight response. So when you're anxious, your brain goes into fight or flight, and you hear a lot about panic attacks and avoidance. Sometimes I get the fight bit instead of the flight bit. I will lash out of fear. It's in anger, but it's out of fear, out of intense anxiety about my work and my life and everything. And it's really unhelpful, both in the moment and after going forward. You've made that impression, you've reacted really unhelpfully. But it comes from the same spot. It comes from that intense fear. And it's very instinctive to react in those sort of ways. I'm also kind of wearing them back in my mind, which this is another thing that my anxiety pops up, is the overreacting emotional woman trope as a woman in a male-dominated industry. And so inevitably every time I lash out in this kind of way, it just makes me feel worse because I'm going, right, so now I'm fitting all these stereotypes, even though that's not necessarily what it is. It's unhealthy, but it's not unhealthy because it's a stereotype that shouldn't exist. It's unhealthy because it's mentally unhealthy. And if it was a guy, it should be just as unhealthy as when it's me or another woman doing it. Anxiety also makes you really weirdly self-centered. Everything is always totally about you. Everything is about you, and it's terrible. Everything, even things that aren't even related to you in any way, shape or form. It's definitely all about you. I am Jack's colon / I am Jack's cold sweat. Anxiety is a physical thing, as well as it starts off as a mental thing, but it very quickly becomes a very physical thing. I suffer from IBS, and that is a stress reaction. It really doesn't enjoy me getting anxious at all. That's kind of all I want to say about that, but it does have a physical effect. It does make you physically ill after being anxious for so long. I am Jack's complete lack of surprise. My anxiety is disassociative. I will disassociate a lot when I'm anxious. I will either completely zone out, lose any connection to my body, and just focus on what I'm doing, or nothing sometimes, until I snap out of it and realise in kind of a distant way that my heart is pounding really quite fast and I should really try to do something about that. It's really hard to explain how you can be so distant from something that's so physical, but it is literally just like, oh, that, my heart is pounding quite fast. I'm going to do something about that, and then I can work through that. Another thing that I didn't actually realise was part of dissociation and sort of depersonalization until I started looking into it is sometimes I feel either really small and vulnerable or too big for my body, like I'm taking up too much space and too much attention. And that's kind of part of that is the whole vulnerability that anxiety brings you and not wanting to draw attention to yourself because you're anxious. And part of that is actually dissociation and depersonalization, which is how my brain deals with anxiety. It shuts it off. So I don't have visible reactions. I don't have like a panic attack or anything like that, but I will have very sort of strange internal reactions to it. It doesn't actively disrupt my life. And as I deal with my anxiety, those symptoms go away as well. But it's a very strange part of my anxiety that. I am Jack's wasted life / I am Jack's broken heart. And this is the biggie, I guess. It's the what if the worst happens and I lose or drive away everything and everyone. The days where you know that you either want to or should be doing a thing, but you'd rather sit there under the weight of hating yourself and all the other anxiety that you've got and just sabotage yourself entirely. The bits that are disruptive on personal, professional levels just stops you from doing everything. Just the weight of it just presses you down into the sofa or the bed until... And it takes all your effort to get up and do the first thing on your to-do list and then another thing and then another thing until you start to feel vaguely like something that's human-shaped. And it's really hard and it takes so much effort just to do the one thing. And yeah, you might feel better doing it, but it's a lot of effort. And hard to explain. It's hard to say, oh, I need to go... Even for things you like. Like, I used to have issues going to events I wanted to go to. And the answer to the question, why don't you want to go to this event is, oh, well, apparently I'd rather just sit here and hate myself for a bit instead, which is quite hard to explain. I am Jack's smirking revenge, which is the closest I've got to a getting better title. Mindfulness helps me a lot. It reduces the disassociation because it becomes second nature to be in my body and be much more aware of where I am and what I'm doing. I've practiced so much that it's just something that I do, which means I'm not dissociating as much. So I do still have my moments. I'll catch myself and I'll be like, oh, that's really bad. It's more of a barometer as opposed to something that happens on a regular basis. It's rarer, and that means that something's wrong. I'm not practicing as much as I need to. I'm being actively triggered by something. It's not just something that's happening to me. I'm also on meds. I'm on sertraline, which is like the second most popular antidepressant, and it is used for anxiety a lot as well. And meds for me just gave me so much energy. It just became so easy for me to get up off the sofa and do a thing, and it just became so much easier to feel like I was saying before, feel like something shaped like a human, because it was just, right, I can get up and do the laundry without it costing me all the energy I have for this day. I don't have to cajole and berate and bribe myself just to do things like shower. I can save that energy and that sort of cajoling things that are the big things, not the everyday things that you generally have to do. I also went for a course of CBT, which is essentially logicking some feelings out. You sit down, you go, right, I'm anxious about this thing because this person totally hates me. And then you go, do you actually have any evidence that this person hates you? And it turns out you might not. You might have evidence that they like you, though. And you can sort of logic your feelings out a little bit, and that helps a lot. So I've had a lot of help. I'm getting better. I'm not sure I'm ever going to be better, but I'm living my life and I'm in a better place. And yeah, I have bad times. I'm always going to have bad times. Sometimes they're not even triggered by anything, but that's just the nature of it sometimes, isn't it? My last sort of section does not have a Fight Club-esque title, because there wasn't one that really surrounded the idea of getting help. I want to preface this section by saying that I don't want anyone to not try and get help based on what I'm going to say, because I did not have the easiest time getting help. I got help, I got amazing help, and I am doing this today because of the help that I got. I'm doing this podcast because of the help that I got, because I would not have been able to do this before. But I did not have an easy time getting help. It took me about 2 years of trying continuously, because being told that you don't have a problem when you're suffering from anxiety and it's taking you all your energy to go to the doctors and say, I think I've got a problem, kind of means that you don't go again for about 6 months, if you're me anyway. So I don't have panic attacks. I've never had a panic attack. I didn't realise what was happening when I was dissociating. I didn't have the words to describe my anxiety as anxiety when I first started seeking help. So what happened was I would go to the doctors and they'd sit me down with a depression questionnaire, and I would fill out that I have a job and I have a relationship. And yeah, that was all I could do maybe sometimes, but I could do it. And they look at me and I wouldn't hit the threshold of being depressed. And they go, well, you're not depressed. Everyone has a rough time. Have some tissues. Go home. And it took me a long time to get through to a doctor that was like, I know I don't fit these criteria, but I need some help. I can't cope like this. And eventually I got help. I got on meds. I got therapy. I got mindfulness. I didn't have the words for anxiety until I was in therapy, when my therapist went, you are clearly anxious. You are clearly suffering from some form of anxiety here. I just fell through the gaps. I didn't advocate for myself because I didn't think I need to advocate. It's very hard to get the help you need when the doctors are telling you exactly the same as the voice in your head that are telling you that there's nothing wrong, you're just an idiot. But I kept breaking down. I got help. I did all the things I spoke about, the mindfulness, the meds, the CBT, and I'm much better off for it. As I said, I'm not recovered. I might not be recovered. Fear might always be my first reaction to things. But as long as I can turn the volume down that fear and go do whatever it is anyway without it costing absolutely all my energy, I'm okay with that. I'm achieving some fantastic things. And yeah, I am genuinely scared still. Like, just doing this podcast, I still get anxious every time I put out an episode. I still get anxious writing episodes because, you know, with a nice healthy dose of imposter syndrome in there. But I do it anyway. And that's because of the help I've got. I try to be nice to myself. without giving in to the anxiety, because I'm aware that that is not a healthy thing to do. It's hard to balance the forcing myself to do things because I know I need to break the anxiety cycle whilst not wearing myself out. It's last year I actually swung entirely the other way and I was doing so much stuff that I didn't have a free weekend for like about a month and a half just because I was constantly saying yes to doing things. I'm a little better off this year. Essentially, I'm trying to learn to live with my brain, not necessarily despite it. And we're getting there. We're on the same team almost now. And I want to leave it there because I think that's quite a nice, I hope that's a nice hopeful note to leave it. I've got links to my event and Geek Mental Health in the show notes. It is a fantastic week. There's a lot of stuff on the site. The site is hosted on GitHub and anyone can submit a pull request to add things to the site. So please do. And I will see you next week. Bye.